Would you stand as we share in hearing the gospel reading from Matthew chapter 21, the first 11 verses. And as often as you have heard these passages, hear these words with freshness, knowing that the living Jesus is entering into our space today. Jesus is always with us, but today we celebrate how He entered into Jerusalem. I ask that you turn your hearts to hear this afresh and anew in unexpected ways that we may encounter Jesus and His nature as well. When they approached Jerusalem and came to Bethphage on the Mount of Olives, Jesus gave two disciples a task. He said to them, "Go into the village over there, and as soon as you enter, you will find a donkey tied up and a colt with it. Untie them both and bring them to me. If anyone says anything to you, say that their master needs them." He sent them off right away. Now this happened to fulfill what the prophet said. "Say to daughter Zion, look, your king is coming to you, humble and riding on a donkey, and on a colt, the donkey's offspring." The disciples went and did just as Jesus had ordered them. They brought the donkey and the colt and laid their clothes on them. Then He sat on them. Now a large crowd spread their clothes on the road. Others cut palm branches off the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds in front of Him and behind Him shouted, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessings on the One who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up. "Who is this?" they asked. The crowds answered, "It's the prophet Jesus from Nazareth in Galilee." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated.
Rejoice, the people of Zion, for He is come.
continue our series, Looking for Love in All the Wrong Places, and focus today on looking for the unexpected. Because folks, I think sometimes, well, we know that there are those in our community that are not Christians and don't understand who Jesus is, who Jesus was, who Jesus will be. But I think sometimes we as Christians have a little bit of trouble with that as well. And I think it's important that as we look at Jesus on this Palm Sunday, we admit that we may not understand fully who Jesus is. And admit that sometimes we have failed to see the image of Jesus that we know from Scripture. Not just the New Testament, but the Old Testament as well. We see who will be the Messiah in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfills that as the Messiah in the New Testament. But there are some times that we get a little off kilter and begin praying for that close parking spot up near the store. Or as my father was trying to help me as a teenager, I'd gotten a couple speeding tickets, and we were having this conversation that included a very serious conversation on, you know, have you prayed about this, Owen? Have you prayed about how you're speeding and how you need to be careful and all this? And I said, yeah, Dad, I'm keep praying that the Lord would reveal to me where that police officer is so I can slow down in time. I was a teenager, so you can admit, you know, I could at least admit that now. But even some of us as pastors can get it wrong. I stand before you as a pastor that will do my best every Sunday to preach from the Word of God and to share about Jesus Christ. As much as I know of Jesus, I will share. But there are parts that I may not know fully, just as much as you. And God will continue to reveal that to me just as He does to you and to other pastors. But at a young age, 10 or 11, somewhere in there, I had accepted Christ a couple years before that. So I felt like I was a Christian that was trying my best to walk after Jesus, to be a follower of Jesus, and to do that in whatever way I seemed to understand through Scripture, through my congregation and the tradition of the church, through the Holy Spirit sharing with me. And easy, early on, I know it's part of my personality, but it really is something that I tune into when I understand Jesus. That He was humble. And how we are to be humble. To be servants, humble servants for Jesus. So you can imagine that at 10 or 11 years old, I was standing at the bus stop. It's one of the first mornings that I had actually gotten there early, so I put my book bag down and I'm first in line and I'm kind of standing there knowing the bus is coming soon, and then all of a sudden my friends all show up, five or six, all boys, and one of the fathers who happened to be a pastor in the area. His son was a good friend of mine. I'd spent many times at his house, but this day, as the bus was about to arrive, all the boys started, and we all started trying to get first in line. Well, I was already first in line. But immediately, I just started stepping back. I was thinking in my mind, okay, we are all going to get to school at the same time. Why is it so important to get on the bus first? Maybe get a better seat? Sure. Okay, but to me, it didn't matter that much. And so I began to take a step back. And as I took a step back, I stepped on my friend's eggs that he had prepared for some event at school. And I could hear them crack. And then just as they began to crack, I felt this pastor grab my arm and yank me off to the side. And it hurt. And he apologized. And he said, I'm sorry, I was trying to protect my son's eggs. And then, after I went on to school, he called my father and he began to talk to him and said, I'm sorry what I did to your son. I just want you to know, I apologize, but I am worried about Owen. It's as if he is too humble. And for years, my father and I have had probably a half dozen conversations about this, going, A pastor is telling my dad that I'm too humble. Because for my father and I, we just understood that is part of being a Christian. That is living after Christ. And we hear it in this passage. So when we hear and we're thinking about this, it's 2,000 years later, but just for a minute, try to imagine Jesus is about to enter in Jerusalem. He pulls his disciples aside and says, "Hey, can you get a limo for me and make sure I come in?" Right. Okay, 2,000 years ago, they wouldn't have had a limo, right? All right, well, okay, how about a horse or a white horse? And you could hear the disciples, "Oh, wait a minute. No, wait. In the scriptures, it's a donkey, right? It's not a horse." They thought they were hearing Jesus, "Get us a horse," just as all the others that would enter in Jerusalem. You can think of Pilate and others who, as they came in on a horse, a chariot. They were, you know, a grand entrance into Jerusalem. But no, the disciples heard, "Get a donkey." "Do what, Jesus? Get a donkey? That's not going to bode well. We're expecting you to be the triumphal king of Israel. We want you to overthrow the Romans. We want everything to go our way." And Jesus said, "No, not only get the donkey, get the colt. I'm going to ride them in." And so instead of a white horse, instead of coming in with an army, instead of rolling out a scroll and sharing an edict of the new law that is in Jesus Christ, instead of using the power with which he had, he chose to come in on a donkey. And I know some of you are thinking this already. It was in our passage, verse 5. Well, it's to fulfill Scripture. And so Jesus would have already known these words from Zechariah chapter 9, verse 9. "Jerusalem, your king coming to you humble, riding on a donkey, on a colt." And you can go, well, Jesus was just smart. He listened when he was in his religious school. He remembered that and he knew, hey, I got to come in on a donkey. No, it's more than that. Jesus is the Logos. He's the living Word. He was with God when there was the beginning. He created those words long enough for us to understand them as the Messiah that was coming. And for them to understand the one that would be triumphant over death would be the one that would come in riding on a donkey. But Jesus still, I have a little concern. Why not come in on a horse? It would have been much nicer for you to do so. But he wanted to show that he could come in on an animal of lowly stature. He could be at eye level with those that were in the crowds, the common folk of the day. He wanted to be able to see them. He wanted to make sure that they understood he loved them from where they were. And so he arrives in the sense of as the peace, as a donkey would represent peace. He arrived in peace. We use palm branches to refer to this peace, but it also is a sign of his victory over death, triumph over sin, and eternal life. I love that. We do that every year. We use palm branches. There was a fleeting moment this morning, wasn't there, where we wondered where the palm branches were and whether we could use them. Teresa, at the first service, was like, "Where's the palm branches?" And I was like, "I think I saw them out there." And even if we hadn't had them, I'd have been okay with it. Because today I want to emphasize the cloaks, or in our case, the coats. Think about it for a minute. People, as Jesus entered into Jerusalem, took out their outer garment and they put it there on the road for Jesus' donkeys to go over. I don't know about you, but I'd worry about throwing my outer garment like this out on the road, because Jesus, then I got to take it to the dry cleaner. I can't just clean this at home. But they threw out their garments. And why would they do that? Well, if you were reading 2 Kings, you would hear where Elijah anointed Jehu as king of Israel, and his fellow officers took off their outer garments and they put them before him as to say, he is worthy of honor. And even though those that gathered around Jesus may not have understood fully, they understood he was worthy of honor. And I think, wow, what an image for us to hold on to. The image of Jesus coming in on a donkey and being worthy of honor enough that people would stop and throw their outer garments out in front of him. It's hard for us, isn't it? It's 2,000 years later. What do we have to understand of Jesus that would do the same thing, that would give the same impression of what it means to be humble, what it means to be triumphant over death and over sin, and to be worthy of honor, to give peace? Well, it's right before you, folks. It's right on this altar right now. It's an example of what Jesus looks like today, alive with us today. It's when Jesus pours into us that some ladies have the forethought to say, hey, you know what? We want to make sure we have as many coats as possible. We want to make sure we have over 300 coats for October of this next year. Planning ahead. It's just amazing to think, well, we get more coats if we buy them in the off-season, yes. But then to say, we don't want your hand-me-down coats. We want new coats. We want new ones that we can put on the children. And when they put it on with a smile and see the tag there, a smile on their face, I have a new coat. That's the way Jesus wants us to see these children. That's the way Jesus sees these children. You get the very best. And because of our words and because of our actions, we're seeing the very best of Jesus today as well. So look and expect the unexpected. Notice that Jesus pours into us in such a way that two ladies and several of us in the congregation would buy coats in the middle of now spring in planning for some children. We don't know their names. We don't know what color they look like. We don't know what background they're from. We don't know anything other than that Jesus has nudged us enough to say, you need to prepare and have as many coats as possible for these children. That's the love of Jesus. That is the life of Jesus entering into us just as He did long ago in Jerusalem. Just as the Psalm reading we read, there's God has a steadfast love that endures forever. Not just 2,000 years ago, but today as well. And as verse 22 shares, the stone that was rejected is now the cornerstone. The ones that rejected Jesus, let me remind you, are the Pharisees, the Sadducees, the religious leaders of that day. Now you can just imagine where my mind goes 2,000 years later. Who are the Pharisees? Who are the Sadducees? Who are the religious leaders? And what does Jesus want to say to us today? That possibly we may have trouble understanding the nature of God and the nature of Jesus. I think it's harder today for us to understand the nature of Jesus, but it's even harder to follow Jesus. You first have to believe. That's one part of this. It is so important for you to understand who Jesus is and whether you believe He's the Messiah, the one who saves us. But then you've got to talk about Him. You've got to act on that as well. That's the following of Jesus as well. And I wonder if we sometimes reject Jesus. I don't know if you know this, and it was pointed out to me last week that we've got a couple cornerstones and this sanctuary will be 100 years old next year. But if you're not paying attention, because of the way the bushes have kind of grown over the cornerstone, you may miss that cornerstone. You may miss Jesus in our midst because of life's distractions. how things are distorted in our lives that keep us from really understanding the nature of who Jesus is and following after Him. I believe Jesus is entering a new Jerusalem. He's here with us today, and I believe sometimes we look in all the wrong places for who Jesus is. I can imagine if we knew Jesus were coming here today and He had said to me, "Owen, I need you to get a bicycle, because we don't have as many donkeys." I do know a few folks that have donkeys in the area, but it would be a little hard for us to do. And I've done that before, and it doesn't work well in the sanctuary. But imagine that Jesus says, "Owen, I want you to get a bicycle, and I want to ride that in." Like, Jesus, come on. And you don't need to ride a bicycle. Let me get you an Uber. I mean, at least one of those nice vehicles. I mean, maybe we could get you a limo, a stretch Humvee. That would be great for you to come in. And if anybody was going to do anything to you, you would be protected until you got here. But no, I believe Jesus would say, "I want to come in on that bicycle. I want to come in under my own power. I want people to understand how humble I am. I am triumphant. And I bring peace, but I'm humble. And that's part of my nature, and it's something that I challenge each of us to live into today. To know how worthy it is to have Jesus as our Lord and Savior. And to know how special that is. You see, I'm as guilty as you and some other things becoming more prominent in my life. I've got this little device I hold in my hand, and I can check it once a week to see my screen time. And when I look at that, I start to realize I don't know that I'm really paying attention to Jesus as much as some device in my hand. And then there are other times that you could be proud of your pastor. I spend a lot of time alone with God. I spend at least an hour and 10 minutes each way between here and Snellville. I have plenty of time alone with God. And there's other parts of my life, too, that are filled with prayer. And times that I, in my mind, am thinking the most incredible things. I've got the best ideas about this church, but they're not coming out of my head. And I realized, if I don't say the name of Jesus, if I don't raise up the name of Jesus, if I don't sing Hosanna, then it's as if it hadn't happened. It's only within my mind. And if I don't spread my coat over, if I don't purchase a coat so that other children can have it, so that I can give back to Jesus through giving to the children, if I'm not doing that, I'm not really following Jesus. And I think we understand that. I think we really do know how important it is to follow Jesus, but sometimes that's just as hard as knowing the nature of Jesus. Because Jesus has the power to make stones cry out. He has the power to start revolutions. He has the power to change the course of human history. And sometimes I wonder, do we want a revolution? Or do we want to live a status quo? I challenge you today to hear the nature of Jesus Christ, who comes to us humbly, ask us to live as humble servants of Jesus as well, to look for the unexpected, what we don't know yet about Jesus, to be revealed to us, so that we too can sing our hosannas. We can sing with praise, both the hosanna that is a cry of praise, as well as a cry of save us now. I wonder if we all did that, how our community would be changed, how our congregation would be changed, because we paid attention to the unexpected nature of who Jesus is and lived our lives in such a way that we were always looking for how Jesus will enter into our lives, how Jesus will show up in the unexpected times. Challenge you to open your eyes wide this week of Holy Week. We've done our best through the time of Lent to draw close to God, to give them some things up or take on some things to draw closer to God. You got 1 week left. 1 week left to wait and see what happens. see how Jesus shows up, what His sacrifice means for us today. To have abundant life today, not just eternal life, but how might Jesus show up in unexpected ways today, this afternoon, and throughout our week? Let us pray. Oh Jesus, we give You thanks for all that You are, and Lord, I thank You so much for the grace to know that I don't know everything about You, but You continue to reveal things to me and to all of us. Lord, help us to realize where we may have fallen short. Tried to put You up on that white horse and have You gallantly come in and just take over, Lord, and make everything prosperous for us, Lord. Just make everything right for us. But instead, You said, just trust Me. Help us, Lord, to live into that. Live into being humble servants for You as the example that You set for us, not only as an example, but by Your power, by Your might. You have conquered death. You have conquered sin. And You provide for us a glory that we continue to live into. Help us, Lord, to follow after You. With our minds, with our hearts, with our voices, and with our action. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Before our hymn of invitation, I again want to remind everyone of all of our services that we have for the week ahead for Holy Week. Again, Maundy Thursday services will be this Thursday at 7 a.m. and the Good Friday services will also be on Friday at 7 a.m. Then Easter Sunday, we have three services that morning. For Easter Sunday.
Sunrise.
Okay. All services from Maundy Thursday and Good Friday will be at 7 p.m. in the evening. Thank you, Colonel. I appreciate it. But then on Easter Sunday morning, 7 a.m. will be our first service. That will be over at the City Cemetery. And we want to invite everyone to come to that or to one of our other services at 9 a.m. and 11 a.m. here at the church campus. So we hope that you'll be able to join us for our Good Friday services this week. Also, one of our traditions for Easter, of course, is to decorate the cross outside. If you have flowers, please bring them with you, and let's decorate the cross as we always do. And we're going to try to have that done before 10 a.m. so people coming out of the early service can go ahead and make pictures if they would like to. And of course, we'll have those up for the week ahead following Easter. So, have I forgotten anything?
Now, I just wanted to say, I'm very proud of our children. This morning they showed up before the early service began. And they did our procession of palms, and they made Easter bunny cinnamon rolls, and did an Easter egg hunt, and they swapped candy, and then they came to this service and processed with us again. So I'm very proud. And they were very quiet today during the service, and I was really proud of them as they learned to worship in a very special way. So if you see one of our little ones, make sure you give them a pat on the back and tell them how proud you are of them.
Yeah.